I ran into Father Amal earlier this week, and I asked, you know, how things were going, and he said, really well. And he said he's starting to get out and visit some parishioners in their homes. And I said, well, how's that going? He said, really good. He said, except for one home he came to, he knocked at the door, and nobody answered. And he could clearly see that somebody was at home. The lights were all on. The TV was on. So he kind of went out back and yelled, hello, and nothing. So he's kind of a clever guy, so he gets out his business card and he writes on the back, Revelations 3:20. And that begins, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, next week in the collection basket, his card was returned, and the ushers gave it to him, and underneath his quotation was another one that said Genesis 3:10. And so he grabbed a Bible and he looked up Genesis 3:10 and started laughing, because it begins, I heard your voice in the garden, but I was afraid, for I was naked. This is just a joke.
This is just a joke.
Just a joke.
I hope Deacon Mike is not competing with me.
Not competing.
At least he learned to say jokes now. That's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We need to laugh.
We need to laugh. That is right. That is good. So homilies. Homilies are meant to take the readings from the scriptures of the day and then make them relevant to everyone here, everyone present. That's kind of what a homily does, a little bit different than a sermon. But homilies also afford the homilist the opportunity to talk about a specific theme or term, something to do with the church. And as I was preparing for this homily, it kind of came into my heart quite a few times to talk about this Jubilee prayer to the Holy Spirit, the prayer that we have been saying at the end of Mass and that we will be saying at the end of Mass through the end of the year. So we have quite a few more weeks to recite this prayer. And I thought that, reciting a prayer is one thing, just to kind of read the words on the screen and follow along, but it's another thing to maybe take a look at this prayer in a little bit more detail, see if it can make a little bit more meaning for us as we pray it at the end of Mass. So I received Father's permission beforehand to examine this prayer in more detail for this homily. So just going to kind of break it down section by section. So the first section goes, come, Holy Spirit, we ask you to renew the Diocese of Green Bay and make of us a community of missionary disciples. Come, Holy Spirit. The very fact that we are asking the Holy Spirit to come means that we are asking for action, because the Holy Spirit is all about action. And the first thing that we are asking action for is to help make us a community of missionary disciples. And I know this isn't always easy, but I'd like you to take just a moment to quietly, don't greet anybody, but just look to your left and look to your right. This is our community. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ in this community. These are the people that are counting on you to help this community become a community of missionary disciples. So what does that mean, missionary disciples? Well, a disciple is someone who follows the ways and teachings of someone. In our case, that is Jesus Christ. And being missionary means that we do not keep this to ourselves, but we spread the word. This is how Jesus envisioned his church, was not to keep it inside, but to share his word with others. By being followers of Jesus, that should really mean something to us. And we should be ready to share that with others. And we don't need a lot of fancy theological language to do this. We only need to share our story and what Jesus means to us. So we need to take a little time to think about what Jesus really means to us in our lives, so that when the time comes, we are ready to share it with others. The next part of the prayer, fill our marriages, homes, and families with love for one another. This is the very heart of Jesus' message, love God, and love your neighbor. The reason that we ask for help with our marriages, homes, and families is because sometimes the ones closest to us are the hardest to love. We know them all too well, and they know us all too well. And then there's that pesky thing called the past that just never seems to go away. Yes, we need help with all of that. We pray for the courage and strength to leave the past behind and always work to make our relationships about the present and the future. Obstacles that may seem too large for us to overcome in our marriages and our families are nothing with the help of God. So if your home is in need of help, ask God to help you so that we can continue to do the work that is uniquely ours. Next, renew our priests and parish leaders with a zeal for souls. I think it is all too easy for parish leaders and priests to be about the work of the parish, of running the parish. It's a big part of what they do. So, of course, it's going to consume a lot of their time and effort. But this prayer, part of the prayer, calls on those priests and parish leaders to remember that even though running the parish is important, what's even more important is attending to the spiritual needs of everyone here. It doesn't leave us off the hook, however, because if we get involved, if we step up our volunteer efforts, if we do more to help the parish run, then that leaves Father Amal more time and energy then to tend to the spiritual needs of the parishioners. We need to let him have that opportunity because we need him to go out and tend to the souls of his flock. The next part of the prayer. Invigorate the diocese with many new vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life. Now, I think it's easy for us to focus on the word priesthood because we all know that we are in need of more priests for our diocese in this country. But I think one of the key words in this section of the prayer is the word vocation. There are many people here who have a job. They go in, they put in their time, and then for that time they are compensated. There are a few here who have a career, and that is somebody who invests more time and energy into training, into education, and their devotion to their profession is maybe a little bit more long-term than just a job. And there are also people here who have a vocation. And a vocation, this is someone who feels deeply called to a certain path in life and at many times at the expense of personal freedom. There's not always an exchange for effort and compensation. Now, in secular life, marriage and family life is the most common vocation. There are many who feel deeply called to having a family and will sacrifice much to make that happen. In the church, there are a select few who feel deeply called to the priesthood and religious life. These men and women sacrifice their lives to help others on their spiritual journey. And even though we think we may not do much to help the cause, I think we can if we can promote vocations and encourage others to find their deep calling in life and pursue it. It will be marriage and family life for most, but if we are true to promoting vocations over careers and over jobs, we may never know what difference we can make. So yes, Holy Spirit, invigorate our diocese with many new vocations. The next part of the prayer, fill our churches, our classrooms, and our faith communities with many followers eager to be sent on mission to live and share the gospel. If you look around this church, I know it's not as easy for you as for me, but I think we could squeeze a few more people in here. There are quite a few empty seats here. Now, there's little doubt that in the West that church membership is declining, and this spans across all religions, all denominations. The reasons for the decline are many, and they're not easily overcome, but I do know one thing. And that is that if we hope to fill our faith community with new followers, we had better be ready to share the gospel, the good news. Our goal should be to create a community so alive that others cannot help but want to be a part of it. And I know that Father Amal will put every effort into making that happen. And we need to be ready to help in any way we can. And one of the best ways that we can do this is by living our faith everywhere. We don't hang up our faith when we go to our jobs or to a sporting event or to family gatherings or wherever we are. You have been called to be a part of God's family, and that is a great gift. But it is a gift only truly realized when we share it with others. I would love to see more people in the pews, but I would be even more excited to see the people sitting here engaged in their faith, ready to go forth and bring others with them. Truly be ready to be sent on mission.
Excuse me, Deacon Mike. Can I interrupt for a second?
You can.
Deacon Mike is talking about how we can engage ourselves, you know, fill our churches or classrooms or faith communities. How would that happen? You know, each one of you, if you go and talk to your family member who is not practicing their faith, what Jesus did for them, each one of you, if you go and talk to one of your friends, one of your neighbors, one of your co-workers, that would mean a lot to the parish. Then we won't see the empty pews anymore, right? So each one of you have to reflect, how can I do that? You know, we are all called to be a disciples. We are all disciples, and we are all called to make missionary disciples. You know, like Deacon Mike said, when you follow the teachings of someone, and we as Christians, we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, and we are disciples, right? And when do we become the missionary disciples? When you talk to your neighbors or your friend or your family member who is not practicing their faith, you become a missionary disciple. You just tell them what Jesus did for you, right? So it's a joyful celebration. We come to worship the Lord in joyful celebration. We are here to celebrate the salvation that Jesus has brought to us. So tell them, tell the neighbors, tell the co-workers, tell your friends, tell your family members that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So let us be the missionary disciples. Let us not be just the disciples. Let us be also the missionary disciples by bringing people to Christ.
Thank you.
The Holy Spirit inspired me to say that.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Deacon Mike. Yeah.
In the last part of our prayer, help us to impact our communities with the joy of the gospel, especially by serving those in greatest need. And this is the culmination of our prayer. When we become missionary disciples, when we fill our marriages and our homes and our families with the love of Christ, when our leaders have a true zeal for souls, and when we embrace and encourage vocations, then our churches will be filled with people ready and willing to go out into the world and serve others with the heart of Jesus. Now, while it is true that anyone can go out and serve others in need, we Christians have a special calling because we can bring the love of Jesus and the message of Jesus to those we serve where others cannot. So we have a special calling to go out and serve others in need. So this is our prayer to the Holy Spirit. May we carry it with us when we go forth from the table of the Lord. Every time we come to Mass, we are strengthened. Jesus said in the gospel, I am the bread of life. Elijah was fed with bread and water from the Lord. This is the bread and water and wine that we get that strengthens us to go out and be missionary disciples. So not only are we called to go forth, we're also called to this wonderful Eucharistic celebration. So take that strength with us wherever we go. When we do, we can make a difference in the world. But more importantly, you can make a difference in the world. May the Holy Spirit be with all of us as we strive to live out our life as missionary disciples.
Amen. Everybody respond, amen.
Amen.